reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, and this is God speaking. You'll find me when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, September 10th, 2025. Oh, listening friend, we're continuing our new series with Pastor Rick Warren titled 40 Days of Prayer. It began last Wednesday, and we heard a portion of it yesterday, and part one will conclude today titled, Do You Really Want to Grow Up? Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church on today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends.
So he's saying, let's not give up the habit of meeting together in these homes, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. So here's the action step. Write it down. You want to grow? Join a small group. Join a small group. You want to grow? You say, well, I'm not willing to pay the price. Then you're willing to be immature. Now, how many of you are in a group right now? Yeah, most of you. Okay. Saddleback is the only church in America that has more people in small groups than actually come on the weekend. This weekend, in our church family, in all of our campuses, we'll have about 30,000 people. Hi, everybody. Those guys are watching right now. Hi, all the other campuses. About 30,000 people in church this morning. But during the week, we have about 40,000 people meeting in over 7,500 small groups. Those small groups go from Santa Monica all the way to San Diego. Every city in Southern California has Saddleback small groups in it. If you're not in one, now's the time to get in one. And the easiest way to do is just start one. How many people do you have to have in a small group to be a group? Three? Two? Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. Small is actually better. Three is better than five. Five is better than eight. Eight is better than 10. You get more than 10 people in a small group, somebody stops talking. It tends to be dominated by the most boisterous and outgoing person. And so, you know, to start a small group, you just say, get a couple friends, say, hey, you want to study this material on prayer for the next 40 days? I'm not asking you to do it the rest of your life. I'm just saying for 40 days, you say, can you want to study this with us? And get a couple friends. Say, I don't have any friends. I will buy you two friends. Okay? I so badly want you to be in this. I'll buy you some friends for the next 6 weeks. Some of you around 15 years ago when we did 40 Days of Purpose. And I really wanted everybody to get the material like I want this year. And so I said, we need every single person in our church to be in a small group. And to do that, we're going to need to have about 3,000 groups total. Now, at that time, we only had 800 small groups in our church. So I said, I need 3,000 of you to volunteer to be a host for 6 weeks. Anybody can do this. A teenager can do this. A senior citizen, a little old lady who's in her 90s can do this. You don't have to teach anything. You don't have to lead anything. You just host, H-O-S-T. And I said, H stands for you have to like people. If you don't like people, if you're grumpy, we don't want you. Okay? You got to really be nice to people. Have to like people. O, open up your home or your apartment or an office or go to the Starbucks and pull out your laptop or park. Open up your home. S, serve something to drink, coffee, tea, water. T, turn on the DVD player. If you can do that, you can be a host. And I said, I need 3,000 of you to sign up and be a host. And that weekend, 3,200 people signed up to be a host. So I said, okay, look, this is the only way you're going to get this material is get in a small group. I can train you how to be a host in about 25 minutes. It's real simple. It's not rocket science. You can do it in the dark. So everybody show up tomorrow night here at the Lake Forest campus, and I'll teach in about 25 minutes, and we'll just have some fun. The next night, 3,200 people showed up right here in this auditorium. And I said, okay, now, it'd probably be a good idea. You don't even have to be a Christian to be a host. You just have to be nice to people. But some of you, maybe you would like to step across the line now. You're ready. You say, I just haven't done it. I haven't made my commitment to Christ. Anybody here need to get saved? 17 people raised their hand. I said, cool. I said, we're all family here. Let's just pray the prayer together. So we all prayed the prayer aloud together. Those 17 people gave their lives to Christ. Then I said, you know, some of you maybe, it'd probably be a good idea to be baptized. Now, you don't have to be baptized to be a host, but it'd probably be a good idea. Anybody want to be baptized? I baptized 400 people. 400 people. And so we started 3,000 new small groups in 1 week. And it was life-changing. Life-changing. All right, number five. Number five, I'm going to do this one real quick. The fifth law of spiritual growth is this. We grow when we expect to grow. We grow when we expect to grow. I call this the faith factor. Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 27, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Do you realize that God blesses your life according to your faith? If you, whatever you believe him for, he says, that's what I'm going to bless. Do you realize that God says, you get to choose how much I bless your life? You get to choose how much I use your life. You get to choose how much your life succeeds. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. So the question I ask, and you haven't even thought about it till now, is what are you going to expect to happen in your life the next 40 days? If you expect nothing to happen, guess what? Nothing will happen. According to your faith, it will be done to you. I highly recommend you go home this afternoon and you set a goal, a prayer request, something to say, this is what I want to see God do in my life in the next 40 days. I want to be stronger in this area. I want to see movement in this area. I want to see a breakthrough here. Because if you study scripture, you learn this. God does not move and bless you for your complaining. God is not moved by your moaning, by your griping, or your complaining. But God will move heaven and earth when he sees you trust him. Every time God moves out of heaven and moves on earth and does a miracle in somebody's life, it's because somebody believed. So, if you want God to do something in your life, God, I want to grow the next 40 days. I believe I am going to grow in the next 40 days. What are you expecting to happen? You need to think about this. Get a goal. Don't waste the next 40 days. Get a goal and say, God, I'm expecting you to do this. I'm expecting you to work in my life. I'm expecting a miracle. I'm expecting a breakthrough. I'm expecting an answer. You need to start this campaign with the spirit of faith. I am going to grow a lot in the next 40 days. Okay, number six, the last one. The last law of growth is we grow when we commit to grow. When we choose to grow. When we intend to grow. Growth is a choice. Spiritual growth is not automatic. As I said, you can grow older without growing up. Growth is not automatic. It is a choice. You must choose to grow. You must choose to do the habits. You must choose to make the effort. And you make a choice. Now, let me ask a very personal question. A year from today, how different do you intend to be? You tend to be stronger or still stuck in the same problems you are right now? You want to be more mature or you must still be the way you are right now? It's your choice. It's your choice. There will be a year from today, some of you are going to be much better people, much stronger people, much more mature people, and others, they're going to be the exact same, still stuck in the mud, still walking around in diapers. Why? Because they never actually intended to grow. They weren't willing to pay the price. The bottom line, to just be blunt, is you're as close to God as you choose to be. It's your choice. If you feel far from God, God didn't move. You're as close to God as you, well, if my husband, if my wife, if my parents, if my brother, if my sister, if my girlfriend, stop blaming anybody else. You're as close to God as you want to be. It is a choice, and growth is a choice. And some people, frankly, are not willing to make the effort and take the discipline and build the habits in order to grow. So I go back to the question, which is the title of this message. Do you really want to grow? If so, how badly do you want to grow? And if so, what are you willing to do to grow? Are you willing to do these habits for the next 40 days? No, then you're not really willing to grow. You don't really want to grow. What you want is convenience. See, here's what God says. He puts it pretty bluntly in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. God says, you'll find me when you get serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else. When you say, God, I have to grow. I'm tired of being a spiritual baby. I don't like being manipulated by my moods, by the opinions of others. I don't like being a people pleaser. I don't like the fears and anxieties and worries. I don't like the depression. I don't like the problem I have with anger and sex. And I don't like all these. God, I want to grow up. I want to be a woman of God. I want to be a man of God. I want to man up and be strong and steady and stable. Well, that's choice. And so what's the action step? Write this down. Covenant with others. You covenant with others. And a covenant, we grow faster when we make a decision with other people and we do it in community. We do a covenant every time we do a spiritual growth campaign. And a covenant is, it's easier to change when other people are changing with you. It's easier to go on a diet when other people are doing a diet with you. It's easier to exercise when you got a partner. It's easier to grow when you make a covenant with other people to grow. Now, this is a covenant that I'm going to encourage you to sign. You say, well, I don't know if I want to make a covenant with God. Why? You make covenants to everybody else. You can't do anything in life without making commitments. You can't buy a car without signing a covenant, and I'll pay it off in 36 months. You can't rent a house or buy a house without making a covenant. I will make these payments every week. You can't get a job without making a covenant. I covenant to be there and show up and actually get the work done. You can't get married without making a covenant till death do us part. You can't do anything in life without commitment. The epitome of immaturity is the guy who won't commit to anything. The fear of commitment is the ultimate example of immaturity. And the only way you grow is by making commitments and growing into it. You say, well, I don't think I know what to do. Of course you don't know what to do, but you make the commitment and you grow into it. Some of you, when you got married and you said, let's have kids, you made a commitment to be a parent. Did you know how to be a parent? No. Not a single person knows how to be a parent before they're a parent. You just make the commitment and then you grow into it. I'm asking you to make a commitment to the most important thing in your life, spiritual growth. 40 years ago, when I was 25 years old, I made a covenant with you. 40 years ago, when I started Saddleback, I made a covenant to this church. And I stood up on the first Sunday and said, I commit the next 40 years of my life to be the pastor of this church. And I'm going to give my life for this church. And I'm going to covenant with you. And I'm not going to leave. And I will love you, and I will pray for you, and I'll teach you. And I made a covenant, and I said, I will pastor this church to 2020, that's started in 1980, it's 40 years, and we'll have 20,000 members by 2020, that's vision, that's a goal. Now, God didn't tell me to stay 40 years, it was just, I just made up a number, just to say, I'm going to be there. And we called it the 2020 goal. And, you know, when you're 25, 65 years old, sounds like you're going to be in a wheelchair, you know. Okay. Today, it sounds like middle age, okay. And honestly, I didn't even think about that covenant with the church until about a couple of years ago when we had the 35th anniversary of our church at Anaheim Stadium. And I started thinking, the clock is ticking. I've only got 5 years left. Tick, 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 tick. About a year and a half ago, Kay and I went off on a couple-day prayer retreat. And we said, God, you know, you didn't tell us to do this, but do you want us to stay or do you want us to go? Do you want us to stay longer than 40 years or do you want us to go and do something else? And honestly, the truthfulness is, we didn't hear anything from God. So we said, okay, we'll wait a year and a half and we'll do it again. You need to know that every single Sunday, on Saturday night too, when I'm driving to the service, I pray a prayer, and it's the same prayer, and part of that prayer is this, and I've said it every week for almost 38 years. God, I offer you my resignation because I belong to you. This is not my church. It's your church. You use me to start it. You love these people. You love me. Use me to start it. But God, if there's somebody who can do a better job and take this church to the next level, I willingly, gladly will step down and let someone else take the leadership of this church because I belong to you. And then, and this is the most hardest part of the prayer, I'm willing to do something more difficult. Because there's a lot of things that would be easier than pastoring a church that has 100,000 names on the roll. A whole lot of easier things. But God, I'm willing to do something harder and difficult. And I've prayed that. And when you hold what God puts in your hands with an open hand, there's no stress to that. because you're not trying to grab on to anything. Well, this summer, while we were doing the rest of this material, Kay and I went and took another two-day break and kind of decided, what are we going to do? Are we going to retire at 2020 after 40 years here, or do we stay? And we made a list of about 25, 25 reasons why I should stay. And the only reason we came up that I would leave would be if my health was not good enough that I could be the leader this church needs. I will never harm this church. I'd rather stick a knife in my heart than hurt you, hurt this church. I've given almost 40 years to this church. And so we prayed about it, and if it's okay with you, I'd like to sign a new covenant and stay here a little bit longer, if that's okay. If that's okay, I don't think I'll... Okay. Given that, I just want you to know, if I'm staying, I'm coming after you. You have no idea what you just gave me permission to do, because I am not going to let you waste your life. I love you too much. I will not let you waste your life. And if I'm staying and you're staying, we're going to a whole nother level. All right? We're going to take it up, and I may get in your face, and you may not like some of the things I say, but it's because I love you, and I do not want you to waste your life. I want the rest of your life, whether you got 5 or 50 years left, to be the best of your life. And as your pastor, as your coach, somebody who loves you, I'm going to force you to grow. And the starting point is 40 days of prayer. When you study any revival, renewal, movement in history, it always starts with prayer. Folks, our nation needs a revival. It's in deep, deep weeds right now. And we need revival in our hearts. We need renewal, refreshment, a fresh sense of joy, a fresh sense of God's presence, a fresh sense of what he wants to do in our lives. And I believe it comes through prayer. And that's why we spent the better part of a year preparing all of these tools. You have to get in a small group. You have to get in one for 6 weeks. Just do it for 6 weeks. Start one, because it's not the sermons. It's what we've all been preparing for. And we're going to go to a whole new level. Now, why am I staying? One reason. I am committed to your personal growth. You know I serve this church for free. I've served it free for 38 years. And I don't take a salary, so you can't fire me. Because I'm a volunteer. I'm a volunteer pastor. I'm an amateur. Professionals are paid to do. I'm an amateur pastor. And I love that, because amateur comes from the word amore, which means I do it out of love. I don't do it for money. I do it out of love for God, and I do it out of love for you. And my goal is the last verse on your outline. Our greatest wish and prayer is that you will become mature Christians. So the bottom line really is, what are you going to do for the next 6 weeks, 7 weeks? Do nothing, miss out, and watch everybody else grow and benefit and get the blessing? Or are you willing to step up the plate and to develop some new habits, which will determine the rest of your life and even the rewards and eternal destiny? But let me lead you in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father, I look out on these people and I love them. They are good people. These are good, good people. And we've been through a lot, ups and downs, highs and lows, crushing grief and soaring joy, lots of different experiences in life. I do believe that our best days are ahead of us. And I do, Lord, re-up. I commit to moving myself first and everybody else to deeper levels of maturity and growth. We don't want to waste our lives. We don't want to miss out on what you've got in store for us. We want all of the blessings. And if we will just do what you say you do, you say our lives will be successful. And I pray a blessing on every person here, that as we go into the next 40 days, we will go into it with anticipation and expectation. It'd be a waste of time for us to do this and not do it in faith. So thank you in advance. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do in my life and in the lives of everybody here who chooses. We know that growth is a choice. And we pray that as we build these habits in our lives, we will become true men of God and women of God in a world that is filled with unstable, flaky, uncommitted people. I pray this blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That prayer and that blessing is prayed over you as you commit to 40 days of prayer and really wanting to grow up, to take the action step and covenant with others. Commit to being in a small group so that you can commit to grow and expect to grow. As was covered yesterday and last Wednesday, we grow when we help each other to grow. And that's growing as we develop spiritual habits. Habit of weekly large group worship, habit of small group fellowship, the habit of daily time alone with God in prayer and reading the Bible, and developing the habit of memorizing God's Word. We also learned that there are different ways to learn, some by listening, auditory, some by watching or reading, visual learners, others by talking, verbal and oral, and I learned that was me, and also others by doing it, physical. So listening friend, will you take this challenge, as explained by Pastor Rick Warren in this series, 40 Days of Prayer, this was part one. Do you really want to grow up? And remember, last Wednesday we looked at the six laws of spiritual growth. We grow when we feed on the Word of God, as we hear it, as we read it, as we study it, as we memorize it, as we meditate on it, and as we apply it. Oh, listening friend, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again, pass it on to a friend, or get caught up on what was preached yesterday or last Wednesday, stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Next up is part two, A Beginner's Guide to Prayer, in this 40 Days of Prayer series by Pastor Rick Warren. So be sure to join me next Tuesday and Wednesday during Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.